From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. To this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon. Our text for today comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 22. There fell down many slain, because the war was of God. Warrior fighting under the banner of the Lord Jesus, observe this verse with holy joy. For as it was in the days of old, so is it now. If the war be of God, the victory is sure. The sons of Reuben and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh could barely muster 45,000 fighting men, and yet in their war with the Hagarites they slew men 100,000, for they cried to God in the battle, and He was entreated of them, because they put their trust in Him. The Lord saveth not by many nor by few. It is ours to go forth in Jehovah's name, if we be but a handful of men, for the Lord of hosts is with us for our captain. They did not neglect buckler and sword and bow, neither did they place their trust in these weapons. We must use all fitting means, but our confidence must rest in the Lord alone, for He is the sword and the shield of His people. The great reason of their extraordinary success lay in the fact that the war was of God. Beloved, in fighting with sin without and within, with error doctrinal or practical, with spiritual wickedness in high places or low places, with the devils and the devil's allies, you are waging Jehovah's war, and unless He Himself can be worsted, you need not fear defeat. Quail not before superior numbers, shrink not from difficulties or impossibilities, flinch not at wounds or death. Smite with the two-edged sword of the Spirit, and the slain shall lie in heaps. The battle is the Lord's, and He will deliver His enemies into our hands. With steadfast foot, strong hand, dauntless heart, and flaming zeal, rush to the conflict, and the hosts of evil shall fly like chaff before the gale. Stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Seeking to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes hesitant because of questions you may be asked? To assist you in your efforts at personal evangelism, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a DVD featuring Dr. Alan Cairns answering such questions as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions in this DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, he responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to provide you free of charge this DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's words for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As Pastor Tamassian continues this series in 1 Thessalonians, he brings the next portion of a message entitled Brotherly Love. The text is verses 9 and 10 of chapter 4. Having reminded the Thessalonian believers of their need for purity of life, the Apostle Paul turns to the subject of relationships within the church. He says that in this matter, they are taught of God. This is true of everyone who has been born again by the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus Christ commanded his disciples to love one another, even as he had loved them. What a difference this would make in our churches if every believer practiced it. Now, to continue this message, brotherly love, here is the Reverend Armand Tomassian.
In one sense, it comes as a surprise to us, I think, reading this epistle in context, that they would be asking about love. Because if you remember and you read through it again, you will see that Paul continually commends this church for their love. He speaks about their love frequently, about the love that they manifest, the love that they show, right from the very first lines of the epistle. So here, as he addresses brotherly love, the question would be asked, well, why even bring this up? Why is it a matter at all? Why is it a subject that needs to be addressed when it seems that the tenor of the epistle is these people are abounding in love already? Well, because of very good reason that he deals with it, they are struggling in certain areas that relate to love within the church. The verses we just dealt with, verse 6, someone defrauding his brother. Clearly, if this was a matter going on, which seems to be the case, something happened there, even if it was just an isolated event. There were things going on that would cause division within the body of Christ. Later, we're going to see matters that relate to how those that die in the Lord and what happens in terms of where they are and what's going to occur there, the Lord's return at the beginning of chapter 5, and how to deal with leadership, how to view the leadership is dealt with in chapter 5 as well. These are just some issues that if you don't think rightly about them, it may cause division within the church. You have some having one opinion, another having another opinion. They begin to discuss it, and perhaps they don't know how to handle the variation of opinion. And so the love that no doubt was evident in that church, certainly from the outset. Again, this church is born in a context of persecution. Persecution is a wonderful aid to love for the brethren. When you have that real sense that the only people who are for you are the people of God, then you're going to love one another because your back is against the wall and the whole world is against you, and you need to understand that unity that you enjoy in Christ. The only people watching your back are those that name the name of Christ. And so you become very sensitive to the world opposing you, and you all together are united around this common experience of being persecuted for the cause of Christ. So that's how the church begins. Love is no doubt abounding in their hearts. But Paul says, as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. In other words, you don't need me to elaborate and give a long explanation on this point. Why? Because they are taught of God. They are directed by God. That term, taught of God, again, is one word, a compound word, just essentially says literally, God taught. They are God taught. It's found only here in the New Testament. And Paul is saying here something that while this word is only here, it's not a new idea that we find in the Scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 6, as he feeds the 5,000 or has fed the 5,000, and the next day they're coming after him, and he begins then to teach them that he is the bread of God sent down from heaven. And he starts to discuss the fact that no one can come to the Father, come to him except the Father draw him, and all of this. He says this in John 6:45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. And so those who truly know the Lord, those who are drawn to God, are those that are taught by God. Or to put it another way, if you're really regenerate, if you're truly the Lord's, you already have been taught by God. And so this was true of those in this particular church. They had been taught by God. But being taught by God, which really, again, let me just say this. When you read that there, that they are taught of God, this relates to their regeneration, their salvation. Anyone who comes to a saving knowledge of Christ has been taught of God. You can't be saved without being taught of God. No man comes to Christ except the Father draws them. Remember what the Lord said also concerning to his disciples, that these things are hidden from the wise and prudent, that are revealed unto babes, and talks about the fact that the Father teaches. And even in that context, when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," he said, "Blessed art thou, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father." And so anyone who's regenerate, anyone who is saved, has been taught by God. So when you read that term, don't just think of it in terms of they are receiving an education from God. Fundamentally, to be taught of God is to be saved. Now, what happens then when you're saved? Well, you will love the brethren. You will have brotherly love. There's a few ways in which we can look at this brotherly love and how it's directed. First, it is directed by God's nature. It is directed by God's nature. One of the blessings of the Christian life is the experience of adoption, to be brought into the family of God. The cross of Christ is not just about your redemption, beloved. It is about your reception. Not just about your redemption, but your reception. And I use that word carefully. In our larger catechism, question 74 asks, what is adoption? And the answer given is, adoption is an act of the free grace of God in and for his only Son, Jesus Christ, whereby all those that are justified are received into the number of his children, have his name put upon them, the Spirit of his Son given to them, are under his fatherly care and dispensations, admitted to all the liberties and privileges of the sons of God, made heirs of all the promises, and fellow heirs with Christ in glory. You're not just redeemed, you're received. You're brought into the family of God. He takes you as his own. Salvation is not, as I've put it in various ways on other occasions, it's not just some act that is performed by God and then he stands off. He said, I've done this work for you, you're on your way to heaven, and then God carries on with his business, not really interested in your life and what's going on. No. He provides salvation, and you are saved, and you're brought into Christ, and you're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. But you're brought into the family of God. He receives you into the family of God, and that just lifts it to another level, beloved. When you think of your position in Christ, when you struggle with the battles of life, when you seek to understand the whys of life, why? Never, never let it be far from your thought that you are a child of God. That will help eliminate the questions that should not be asked, the doubts, wondering, does he really love me? You are his child. You've been received. Christ has provided a salvation that brings you into the family of God. Now, since we are the children of God, it is not surprising that it should be expected that we take on God's nature in relation to his communicable attributes. When I say communicable, I mean those attributes of God that can be communicated and experienced by men. God is love. We understand that. But God is also infinite. We don't understand that. That's not communicable. We don't understand the infinite. There's nothing about us in that way that is infinite. We don't get it. That's the incommunicable attributes of God. But the communicable attributes, those aspects of the divine nature begin to be manifested by his children. We should not be surprised by that. So what do we know about God's nature? Well, I've said it already. God is love, 1 John 4, verse 8. Thus, the Lord Jesus calls us not just to love our neighbor, but also our enemy. Why? Matthew 5:45 gives us the answer. that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. We are loved by God, but we, let us not forget, we were the children of wrath even as others. He loved those that were at enmity with him. And we are called then to take on his nature, to reflect his character by loving our enemies, that we may be the children of our Father which is in heaven. So when we manifest love, we reflect that which gives evidence to the fact that we are the children of God. We are proving it. And according to Peter, believers are, in 2 Peter 1 verse 4, partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We escape the past, the bondage to another way of living, and we have this new nature, the new man. And that manifests different characteristics. We begin to live differently. And Christians are taught through this new nature, through the divine nature that they have received by regeneration, they are taught. What are they taught? Look at verse 9. They are taught of God to love one another. So it is directed by God's nature. It's also directed by God's Spirit. The reason our nature has changed is because of the work of the Spirit of God. The old man is crucified with Christ. The new man lives by the Spirit. And where there is a genuine work of the Spirit in the life of a people, there will always be the outworking of love for the brethren. Why? Why will there always, if the Spirit has worked, why will there always be an outworking of love for the brethren? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love. Galatians 5:22. Furthermore, we are told by Paul in Romans 5, verse 5, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. This is a universal experience for every professor of Christ that truly knows the Lord, those that walk with him and have had their hearts changed. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the Spirit is with us, and the Spirit is directing us. He's directing you from the moment of your regeneration, of your salvation, when you were born again, you were taught of God to love one another. There's no escaping this. This is, again, I say, universal. There's no way of avoiding it. However Spirit-led we may claim to be, if there's an unwillingness to truly love a brother, we are not being led by the Spirit. And we are giving evidence to the fact that there is a problem in our hearts. We are quenching the Spirit. We are driving him away. We are taught of God to love one another from the moment we're regenerated. We are taught of God to love one another. We should never, ever think that's a light matter. It is directed by God's nature. It's directed by God's Spirit, and it's directed by God's Word. God does not teach his people without the instrumentality of his Word. He always uses his Word. His Word guides us, instructs us, our hearts. And in the earliest pages of the Bible, we learn what it's like to not love, don't we? We see Cain slaying his brother Abel. One of the first events we read, a lack of love for his brother, brother according to the flesh, no love. And when you go through the law of God, you will find that the law of Moses is full of provisions which reflected the love that the people of God are to have toward one another. I'll just give you one portion of that in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 17 and 18, a very important portion of God's Word. Leviticus 19, 17 and 18, we are told there by the Lord, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Now, again, some people read the New Testament and think that, certain things are exclusive to the New Testament. So that, you know, it's okay to hate. And it was okay to hate in the heart, but it's not now because Jesus has taught us another way, a higher way. It was there all the time. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Not bearing any grudge against the Lord's people. You're not being taught by God. You're not being taught by His Word if you do. So brotherly love is directed, isn't it? It's directed by God immediately from our salvation, our conversion. I don't need to elaborate on this, Paul says, as touching brotherly love. I don't need to write a lengthy exposition on this. Ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. You're God taught. God's nature, God's Spirit, God's Word, it all points to the fact that you must love one another.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.